Accession number 27774, Ms. Elia Suster, Reel 2. Now, we were talking about your time with the machine gun company, training with the machine gun company in near Riga, in Latvia, between 1934 and 1935, while you were 20 to 21, I think.
Yes, yes, sir.
Now, before we go into the sergeant major, what about things like drill? How did you take to foot drill? I presume you'd never experienced it before. What did you think of it?
Well, if I now experience the English drill and then the Latvian drill, then I must say that, the English drill is one of the best drills there is, as far as I know. Maybe the German. The Latvian drill, the drill was not very good.
In what way? What was wrong with it? Was it not done enough, or was it just sloppy to start with?
Well, the drill, it's difficult for me to describe. It was when I saw the English drill, yeah, it was absolutely, you know, how do you say, numbered, you know? And the other was, first of all, because of the uniforms. You see, for a good drill, you need a good uniform, good boots and all this. You can't just drill with negligent boots and achy boots, or if the uniform is... I didn't think much of the drill.
Fair enough. Now, what about fitness? You'd been a bit of a sportsman. How fit were you, and did they try and get you any fitter with either PT or route marches, assault courses?
Yeah, yes, there were a lot of route marches, and I must say they were very, very heavy.
Now, what was a typical route march like within the Latvian army? Because tell us, you know, what would you do?
Well, you just...
How far? What was a march like?
Well, of course, this I don't quite remember how far, but I do know that I often got very tired because it was too much. Too much, particularly when it was hot. Yeah. And I was always very reluctant.
Would you carry your full equipment?
Yes, rifle.
And did they sing on the march? Or
no, not much. That is German.
Would people come and look at you as you went past, or was it sort of, did people just ignore you, basically?
Yeah. Look, the rules were there. If you as a Latvian soldier went to a restaurant at night, and there was an officer, you had to go there and ask for permission whether you could stay.
Let's talk a bit about it. Well, how did you get on with the NCOs and officers? I think you wanted to say something about a sergeant major.
Yes.
Tell me, how did you get on with the NCOs?
He was the only one I get, but he was completely what you call perverse and neurotic and really nasty.
In what way? Give us some
examples. First of all, he didn't like me. Yeah.
And
he took it out of... Well,
why not?
Just... he thought... can't speak the language, you know. Also a bit obstinate, you know, so a bit. And... I don't know. Maybe he was jealous. You know, but he...
And what kind of thing would he do?
Well, he would, for instance, punish you for the smallest thing you did. For instance... I give you an example. Of course, it was stupid. I wanted to introduce their hockey in the army.
Hello.
For instance, we had to do guard duty. That means guard duty, guarding the barracks. And in winter, it sometimes reaches minus 15 to 16 degrees of centigrade, which is very, very cold. Of course, we get very good fur coats. But he continuously gave me the worst time to do it, so I had to do it much more than the other. And at that time, if it was very cold, it was 2 hours on and 4 hours off. But sometimes it was 4 hours on and 8 hours off.
And that was tough in that
time. Oh, yes, that was really particularly, it was very, very tough.
Anything else he did?
Well, and then punishment was sometimes there to stand still, even with your rifle, and every time you moved, then it was prolonged. So things like that. He was very unjust, you know, and very, very, how do you call it? Not vicious, nasty. for instance, leave we could get sometimes on a Saturday to leave. So you would hold these passports, you know, these passes, I say passport, up to the last minute or even delayed in order to issue, just to aggravate. Yeah. And other things which are detailed. In any case, he spoiled it for me because I got on very well with the other NCOs.
Now, what were they like, in contrast?
Well, I was very, they were very, very good. And I once, we had a captain there who took very great interest in me because he wanted to learn English and German. And when we went to the summer camp, which is very, very tough, he pulled me out, you know, because I pulled me out and I had a summer holiday being on the rifle range, putting, you know, the shooting and cleaning the shooting range. That means sunbathing and just loafing about.
You're at the butt end. You're doing the butts and helping with the armament.
Yes. You could lean on your spade there. It wouldn't get red hot, or they used to say.
And what about the other officers?
Well, they were all, I must say, very, very nice.
Now, what about your fellow recruits, conscripts?
Well,
because you were a bit of an outsider. You weren't.
Yeah,
the same
yes. That some, of course, didn't like me, obviously not. And then, of course, they didn't like because at first they had to speak to me in a different language, and Russian was very unpopular. Yeah, Russian. Was very, very unpopular in Latvia.
Now, you've said that before, and it's fairly obvious why, but for the tape, for people who might not know, can you just explain why Russian was so unpopular in Latvia?
First of all, unpopular because, as we all know, that Russia was strongly communistic, yeah? And of course, they were also afraid that Russia any moment could move in. They were also afraid of Germany, but somehow Germans were also not popular, because it is the old vendetta from the German rulers there, you know, that dates back a long time in history.
Now, so some of them didn't like, because they had to speak Russian to you.
In fact, it was not allowed, really. It was, you had to speak Latvian, you see. It was not allowed, but of course, they had no alternative with me, yeah. But I slowly learned it.
And what about the others? Some of them it sounds like you did get on well with.
Oh yes, I got on well with, because there was suddenly in Latvia very fashionable was table tennis, and we had even in the barracks table tennis. So, because I could play well, I was very popular. Yeah.
And the no bullying, I mean the ones that didn't like you didn't bully?
That Sergeant Major was a bully.
But I mean the men, the recruits, any of them bullying?
No, first of all, I don't know because I had, they tried to bully me, but they didn't succeed.
You stood up for yourself?
Well, that is strange, but I had even a fight too, you know.
So you were in fights?
Yeah.
Tell us about that, what happened?
Well, what happened? I went into the bathroom and quite a Latvian peasant, you know, he started trying to touch the part he shouldn't touch, yeah? And he was I started boxing, yeah? And I knocked him over, but he never reported me. I must say that he said he's fallen on this, and things started getting better. But I must say, in the end, I had no problems.
Now, did you do any tactical maneuvers, you know, or training maneuvers with, the, you know, where you go and exercises, where they go out and have people pretending to brigade or divisional exercises, where people pretend to
be
the
enemy? They did, I think, only one. It was very, very difficult, route marching, you know, and all this. But I remember, I think I got as very heavy cold, and I had to go to hospital, and I missed the end of this.
Now, was there a passing out parade? How long was the course? A year?
A year, yes.
And was there a passing out or anything, or what did it?
No, we didn't have passing out.
And it didn't sound long for the conscription period. Was that a year, or were you?
It was a full year, yes.
And then that was it?
That's it for
now. Now, what was your status after that? Were you a sort of reserve?
I mean, cause no, nothing.
You couldn't be recalled to the colours.
Well, I could, yeah, but I could, but I was. I left then. I left Latvia, and then I went to England.
So you went to England permanently after that? That's only 1935.
No, I didn't. I didn't go permanently.
So you went
there, and then I came back again.
So the next period, you're back in Hamburg.
Yes.
Visits to England, but you were in you lived in Hamburg.
Yes. But by the time of that, there was Hitler. In 1933, Hitler came. Well, into power, took over.
What were the effects of that? I mean, you've talked a bit about, you know, you saw signs of it at school, you'd had the militarism, and he was a bit of a Nazi, you know.
Yes, there were Nazis
before they came to power, obviously. Now, how did it get worse after Hitler came to power in
1933? The extraordinary thing was that Hamburg and Bremen, I mean, the population, and generally when I was there, were not so enthusiastic Nazis as the South, yeah, Bavaria and all this, and we didn't feel much at all. I had still a good life, yeah, for a few years. It started getting worse.
Now, how did it get worse? Did you see what I mean? Can you chart how things?
Well, suddenly, in that they started arresting Jewish people, but they didn't arrest any foreigners. That they couldn't, unless you committed a crime or something. Yeah.
And you were, of course, Latvian.
Yes, and you had a consul for what? Later on, that was no protection. You know, after 39. You know that. Yeah.
Now, so.
I still played hockey. That was before. I played four times for Hamburg as a junior. Yeah. Four times, because there. It was, the rule is similar, like a foreigner could, nothing to do with it. A foreigner could play for the town, but not for a county. Yeah.
Now, so what happened in this period? You're still working for this egg?
I was not working anymore. I was doing nothing at all.
Nothing at all?
Wait a moment.
When you came back from
Went to Martin Röhler, which was a German company.
Thirty-four was when you were in.
Then 34. I was once 1 year apprentice, and then I had this.
So 34 to 35.
So I must have been to England. I went in 30. Yes, I was in Latvia when the Duke of Wales married Simpson. I remember, because they were all surprised then. That I remember. 1936, I was in.
So you were a conscript from 1935 to 1936.
Yes, that is correct.
Now, what happened when you came back in 36? We're still trying to sort that out.
And I came back.
So it's 3 years before you finally leave Germany.
Oh, yes. I got a job to go to Romania. There was an egg factory. Because the firm my father worked for, the China supplies, the China war started, would not come in, so they had no supply.
We are
not talking shell eggs, we are now talking frozen egg, that which is an egg preserved in a tin, a paste, yeah, frozen egg, which the baker industry is using even today. Only today, the big development is tankers. So where you have got.
So what was your job then? You've got these frozen eggs in box.
To learn the trade, to learn the manufacture of frozen air, because you had to separate it to white, yolk alone, yellow, and the whole egg, the three. And then the egg, of course, developed into dried egg. And that started in Shanghai.
First you went to Romania, though?
That is only Romania, where I stayed one season, I think.
And you were learning the trade?
Yes, learning, and then supervising, the workers.
And then what happened next after that, year? That would be about 30, well, it sounds like 36, 30, 37. So was it then the dried egg business?
No, but tell me, when did you say I was in the Latvian army?
Well, you told me.
Yeah,
1935 to 1936.
Yeah, well, I know. No, I think when I came back from the army, I did nothing at all in Hamburg. Because I went then to England, yeah?
So 3 years, you did 3 years, you did nothing.
Was it 3 years? Well, Romania then. Oh, yes, of course. In the meantime, I also went to Prague. And they had a small branch selling egg products, yeah? And I assisted there and worked a bit until Hitler marched in. That was when Hitler marched into Czechoslovakia. That must be then. Because I was there when he marched in.
So what do you remember about that?
All I remember that suddenly, out of the blue, first they took the Sudetenland, and then out of the blue, Hitler demanded, first was the Sudetenland demanded, and marched into Czechoslovakia, took everybody by surprise.
Now, what do you remember of it? What happened to you?
All I remember there, that the moment the Germans came in, there was a commotion. They started arresting anybody who was a communist. They also started arresting some Jews who were popular, in certain trades and all this. And it was a whole commotion. They wanted, for instance, first to start in Czechoslovakia at that time, they were driving left. And the Germans wanted immediately that they should change it. Can you imagine the commotion? I don't think they succeeded. To change from left to all the traffic and everything is almost impossible. I'm only saying that. And, of course, they started occupying factories and all this. But I'm very shortly afterwards, I took a ticket and I went back to Hamburg. And there I prepared to go to England.
So that's 1939.
Yeah.
Now, why did what was behind your decision to move to England? That was it, wasn't it?
First of all, I could sense down there the preparation I saw in Germany, the rearmament, and that is why it surprised me such a lot that Mr. Chamberlain even didn't know. They were building heavy cruisers. The army, you could see where they're mobilizing. Every child would know. My friends used to come to me and said, we'll be called up very shortly. You could feel it. But everybody knew except the English government, except Churchill. Yeah?
Not Chamberlain, you mean?
Yeah, no, Churchill knew. Yeah. I mean, I just say he was exceptional there. Yeah? And he saved us all. That is definitely.
So what preparations did you make for the move?
Well, I had money then and bought all clothing and everything, packed my bags. Now, as we had very good connection with the English consul there, and he knew my father very well, he recommended, he gave me so I had no problem to get the visa for England. And then my father...
A Latvian visa, I presume?
Yeah. No, English entries.
Of course it is, an English entry visa.
Entry visa, which started getting very difficult because there were so many refugees going into England, you see. But at that time, my parents, were in Romania. And that was my luck, that I didn't go there.
So, just to fill in, what happened to them?
Eventually, they emigrated. They just got away, but they couldn't get back, and they didn't go to Hamburg. They went to Palestine, where they stayed. Yeah.
So tell me about your journey to England. This is in 1939, is it?
1939.
Before the war broke out?
Just a few months, 3-4 months before the war broke out, yes. I was very lucky.
Yeah. Tell me about the journey. Anything special, or was it just a convention?
Nothing special, because I went via, we had a relation in Belgium. So I went to Belgium first and then to England. Well, I stayed only a few weeks in Belgium. Yeah.
Now, what happened when you got to England? Where did you live? How did you set yourself up? Because you were on your own, really, weren't you?
Yes. I wasn't quite on my own, because I had some relations who were British living here in England, and but I didn't get much help there. Yes.
So where did you go? Where did you live?
Just when I came here. Yes, I met a friend I had, and we took a flat, a small flat in Pembridge Square in London, where I stayed.
Pembridge Square.
Pembridge Square. It's today a very smart, expensive district.
Whereabouts is it?
It is very near Notting Hill. Notting Hill Gate.
And what did you do for a living? You may have had some money, but money doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't. I didn't have much money, but I got an allowance from the firm, from my father's firm, of I think it was £3 or £4 a week, which was you could live on, particularly as you shared a flat, you see. And then, of course, the war broke out in...
So were you working before the war broke out, or you just... What were you doing? How would you spend your days? I mean, it's a long time. Don't remember particularly. Well, tell me about the outbreak of war. What do you remember of that?
I remember only that the speech of Chamberlain saying that in consequence of that, we have declared war on Germany. Yeah.
And what did you feel? How did you react to yourself?
Well, whilst I was very pleased, the things I knew, and I told my friends and all this, I was terribly worried, because I've seen the German rearmament, more or less, and heard from my German friends how strong, how they have rebuilt the army. And
so you realized how serious it was?
Very serious. I considered it extremely serious, because, of course, I didn't know how unprepared we were. I only discovered that later on when I joined the army. And
we'll come to that.
At
this point, you were just worried because you'd seen the strength of the German army. You didn't have any real...
I didn't know how strong they were. I knew they were very strong, but what I hear now, what they had is quite unbelievable, particularly the Navy and the Air Force. It's colossal. Compared when I saw our barracks with our Ross Enfield rifles.
The Latvian army, yes.
No, yes, but a bit more modern. I really was worried. But you see, whilst I was in Yorkshire in West Riding.
Now hang on, we're in London at the moment. We're
in Notting
Hill. Now, did you think the war would involve you personally when the war broke out? I mean, because you were
no. If I didn't think so, I immediately said that I will volunteer for the English army.
You thought that right at the start?
Wait a moment, I forgot. I actually took a job as a lorry driver, clearing rubble when the Blitz was on. I had to, with the county council.
Still a year in. What did you do before that? in 1939? Because the Blitz started, what, September 1940?
Do you know, because I didn't do anything, I think. I moved out. My friend had a big job in the BBC, and I stayed there a few months. The war was on near Evesham, there, near Reading. Yeah.
What, you moved to Evesham?
Yeah, or just stayed there a few months. But then I came back, and then I took the job. The
now, where did you live when you came back?
Then I lived in Diggs, in Hoop Lane, near Golders Green, somewhere there. Where I got the job from Hendon County Council to clear, well, after our raids, to clear houses. Yeah.
Now tell us a bit about that work. What was the work like?
The work was, I had to report at 8 o'clock and take the lorry, make three tunnels, and go to some of these, what do you call it? The rubble, where they had put the rubble collection. I didn't need to load, nor unload, but they loaded me up, say, with this, and then I had to go to a dump and dump it. Oh, yes, I had to unload, but not load.
And what's your, any stories from your time there? Anything happened to you while you were doing that?
No, there's nothing of interest, no. You would say, well, the only thing I always tell, for instance, I was sitting in a coffee house somewhere there in Hendon and having my egg, bacon and tomato, and then two very big chaps arrived who were lorry drivers. And he approached me and said, do you want to remain happy? And I said, I don't understand what you mean. Well, he said, you're carving the job up. I said, I still don't understand. He said, you're a madman. You're doing four loads, and you should do only three loads.
In a day?
In three loads in the morning, and then two or three loads in the evening. I don't know that. So he used that expression, you're carving the job up. I never forget that. So he explained it to me, and I said, yes, well, if that is your rule, obviously I want to remain healthy. And so I had a good timer. That means I could ease off. Do you understand? Yeah. But they were lazy sods, all of them. Oh, it was unbelievable. And dishonest to the core. You see, they were all there. Nobody wanted to join the army. Yeah? So I did it. I must say, for me, who was never used to such physical work and lorry, this old three-tonner, it was heavy going, that I must admit.
But any other incidents? Or
no, not much.
So how long were you doing that from, 1940 to when?
Well, I was doing that from there. I joined the army. That means I joined the army in September 41.
Now, what about any stories of the bombing? I mean, did you have any? I mean, Hoop Lane is, I'm not sure.
Yes, there was very little down there. There were some houses in Golders were damaged. Yeah? But there's very little there. We had once or twice, because I remember I extinguished then some fire bombs.
Incendiaries,
which you had to put sand on and not water. Mm. Yes, that there were a few, but it was not much damage, but there was damage. Also, particularly, you know what today, the Tower Garage, that district, which they had quite a lot of damage.
And that's where you were taking the rubble from?
Yes.